Total.
Law-abiding citizens would like to go about their lives without the fear of attack or people and dispossessing them of their possessions.
Justice makes perfect. You cannot be rusty and then go for a man.
For the biggest personalities.
Dr. Ibirunke Thomas joins us via Skype.
He's been selected for Forbes 30 under 30. His name is Eniolua Aboye.
For the strongest opinions.
All AFRO has been saying is, I implement the agreements and agree.
For the best sporting comments.
Anybody need a miracle now, else they'll be knocked out.
They will be knocked out.
Your number one station for talk, 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Nigeria Info.
Let's talk.
This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
We are the nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria, aiming for a very pleasant morning to you, Lagos, Nigeria. It's Thursday. Every Thursday on the Crossfire, we discuss health and health-related matters only. I'm Sheriff Quadri, and this is the first ever Thursday that we'll be discussing health issues in the year 2022. So I bid you welcome. If you're watching on Facebook and on YouTube, you're welcome to join us this morning. If you'd like to join us virtually, you can go to our Facebook page, Nigeria Info 99.3, and YouTube channel, Nigeria Info 99.3. And let's know what you think about our conversation this morning. You can also let us know about your thoughts on our Instagram page at Nigeria Info FM Lagos on Instagram. That's right, at Nigeria Info FM Lagos on Instagram. This morning, let's talk about those trying to conceive, infertility, what causes it, symptoms, and treatment. That's our conversation today. So it feels so exciting to have our guest, a renowned Dr. Abayomi Ajayi, a renowned gynecologist, on the show this morning to launch our very first health series broadcast in 2022. The conversation today is on fertility and reproductive health, talking infertility, symptoms, causes, and treatment, of course. We've had to discuss this topic about twice or so, back to back, with Dr. Ajayi on the Morning Crossfire, I think sometime around 2020. Back then, we got a lot of feedback, and I made a promise that we're going to try and bring back Dr. Abayomi Ajayi on the show. So he's here now. He's here. Dr. Abayomi Ajayi, Chief Executive Officer at Nautical Fertility Center, joins us this morning live in the studio. Dr. Ajayi, good morning to you.
Morning, Sheriff.
How are you doing, sir?
Good. Great to be in 2022.
Yeah, it's good to see you in 2022. It's good to see you in 2022. Looking back at 2021, the last time we spoke, you gave some staggering figures as regards fertility, infertility. What are your hopes for 2022 in this area?
Well, I guess the trend still continues. It's global, it's not Nigeria alone, it's global. So the trend continues. So we need to talk to people on, one, how to maintain their fertility, to do those things that will not jeopardize their fertility, and therefore they won't be needing me, as it were.
That's very humble of you, sir. It's very, very humble of you. As a fertility doctor, Dr. Ajayi, with over 30 years of an amazing career, especially in the medical profession, what would you say are the predominant causes of infertility in both men and women?
Well, I guess the first thing that probably we need to talk about in 2022 would be age.
Age?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nigeria is joining everywhere in the world. Mm. People are getting, they want to become accomplished before the whatever that means, they start raising a family, both men and women, and therefore this also makes it more difficult for them to achieve pregnancy when they finally decide to do so. And so that's probably the most important singular factor before we start talking about lifestyle, which is age is also part of lifestyle so probably we say lifestyle issues probably are the biggest cause for men and women, you know.
What are these lifestyle?
You know, in Nigeria now, we're really joining the whole world. I mean, which is natural. Recreational drugs are becoming like commonplace. actually, you can. One day I was in traffic. I was with my son, and I saw this guy in Lekki entering a very beautiful car in the traffic. 2 minutes after, he came down. So I asked my son, I said, look, what? Did you see that? Oh, yes. I said, he's selling him drugs.
Oh.
Is that rampant now?
Oh.
Is that rampant now? So they sell drugs in traffic. But this also has effect on our reproductive system, both men and women. I see many couples, they come to me, and then when you start taking history, you see that the two of them, because now I think we think is an aphrodisiac.
Yeah.
I mean, it helps with sexual performance. Mm. Well, fine, maybe it does, but be careful about the after effect.
Right.
So I think those are some of the things, and then we are living more sedentary lifestyles. Everybody is getting chubby.
No, you're very right.
And that affects also
our
fertility, both men and women. Not to talk of alcohol consumption, you know. People are hitting the bottle, like they say they are relieving stress, they are doing whatever, but you know what? Be mindful of your fertility as well, because all these things have effect on fertility.
Right.
Not to talk of the work we do, okay, there's some vocations that also they predispose people to infertility.
Right.
You know. Right. So, for example, people who work in fuel stations, people who work in paint
manufacturing company.
Yeah. So those are things that can, even some vocations, you know, expose us to infertility.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you stay too long, maybe if you're cycling and increases the temperature, if you stay too long on the golf course, you know, and they've used the pesticides, and there's so many ways that we can pick up infertility all around us now.
Right. Is there a place for natural cause?
Natural cause of
infertility.
Oh, well, if you mean that we can inherit some causes of infertility, sure, we can. There's some infertility, there's some causes that you can inherit. For example, polycystic ovarian syndrome in women can be inherited. Endometriosis can be inherited, you know. So those are some of the things that can be inherited. And so also in the man, because that's one other aspect that we're paying attention to, but not enough.
Okay.
Because, like we say all the time, that men and women are equally affected when it comes to infertility. I probably even want to believe that maybe men are more affected than women now. But, you know, because why I'm a little bit hesitant is because we don't have national figures. We don't have, community figures. What we have are figures that we get in clinics, which might be a little bit skewed, because it means it's only people who can pay we're seeing. Seeing the whole. So we're careful to deduce from such. But what we're seeing might show that men might also be more contributing more to infertility.
In men, let's narrow this down. In men, what are the main causes?
Well, the main causes of infertility in men still remain the same. Just like you said, some you inherit, some are due to things like that you acquired from your lifestyle, you know. The good thing about lifestyle, why I keep talking about it, is because they are reversible things, most of the time. So if you sin no more, you are not, some of it can be reversed.
Can be reversed.
But things like trauma also, but also sometimes infertility in men is a pointer to something more sinister, like cancer of the testes, you know, when you see low sperm count. That's why we say that when you see a man with sperm count less than 5 million, you must investigate him. Take the opportunity to look at his testes, because you might discover something that, and because if this is caught early also,
it
has a good chance of surviving it. So those are some of the things that we know that can also can cause infertility in men, not to talk of infection, especially when they're badly treated.
You know what we're going to do, Dr. Ajayi? We're going to make this very, very highly interactive. So we'll take calls, we'll take messages as we go along. If you're watching on Facebook and YouTube, you can start dropping your thoughts now. But let's get into today's topic proper. At what point can we say someone is experiencing a delay?
Nice question. And that question has been answered by the World Health Organization. They say that if you are less than 35 years old as a woman and you've been trying for 1 year, then we can consider that something is wrong with you. So we can say you have subfertility, or we try to call it infertility, but they want to call it subfertility, and therefore you need to see a doctor to be investigated. But if the woman is over 35, then 6 months after you've tried, what we consider to be trying sufficiently is that you must be having intercourse 2 to 3 times in a week. Yeah. So if you have tried for 6 months without any form of contraception, then you should be seeing a doctor to find out why this is so. Mm-hmm. And of course, you'll notice the dichotomy in age, because age is very important, especially in women.
What are the chances, if we talk about age, those below 35, those above 35?
Yes, those below 35. When you're below 35, actually the chances that you can be pregnant naturally in one cycle is about 20%. Okay. But what we try to do is that we like to make it attractive by making a cumulative chance.
Okay.
So we say that, okay, in about 6 months, you have about maybe 50% chance of pregnancy.
Okay.
In about a year, you have about 75% chance of pregnancy.
Okay.
Okay. And in 2 years, you have about 90% chance of pregnancy.
Indeed. Dr. Bayomi, what are the symptoms?
Well, wonderful question. That's one of the problems that we have infertility, because most times there are no symptoms at all. The only thing that you experience that, okay, you've been having regular intercourse with your partner and she's not getting pregnant, there is no baby bump, you know. So most of the time there are no symptoms, but sometimes there might be some symptoms in the man or in the woman. In the man, probably sometimes you might see that the testes, if you examine the testes, one of them is not fair. So this could have, it could have been born that way, or it could have had an accident somewhere along the line.
Right.
You know, if you played football in school and you were hit there, or you fell into a manhole, stuff like that could cause it in men. Then also, some men also have very reduced libido, you know, and some have erectile dysfunction. Before they even get near their wives, they are already discharged. In my dad, I make it difficult for conception to take place. But also you might see some men having breasts. They have breast tissue like women. That also might be a pointer to hormonal imbalance. So but like we said, many people don't have any symptoms. But in women, irregular menstrual cycle is one thing that should make you to say, okay, fine, is there a problem here? So sometimes women have, but when we talk about irregular menstrual cycle, some people think it's clockwork. That if I see my menses every 28 days, it must be 28 days. So when it's 30 days, they pick up the phone and they're calling their doctors. No, we say that normal menses is between 25 to 35 days. So once you fall into that range, then you're good.
You're okay.
Yeah, you're good. So some women have very much pain when they're having intercourse. Okay. And this might be a herald of other things. So they should see the doctor pretty quickly. If your menstrual pain is so much that disturbs you from doing chores, you know, there's some women, once they're menstruating, everything comes to a stop.
That's right.
Such women also should see the doctor early, because that might be a pointer to some problem. So but apart from that, most, like we said, most people, they're just normal folks, no symptoms at all. And one thing I want to say here, which Nigerians say a lot, which does not mean anything.
Right.
It only happens when they start trying to have a baby. They say sperm flows back. Oh, come on.
I'm already seeing some comments.
That's not an issue.
Okay.
Really and truly. Okay. Because what I tell people is that what you see is that, you know, when you see the rocket now, they used to call it Challenger, I don't know what they call it now. When it goes up, what you see is the fuselage comes down when it has attained a particular height.
Okay.
That's what you see on the bed also. What you see is the semen, not the sperm.
Oh.
Okay. So that's the fuselage. Okay. The sperm cells are leaving air cells. So they're able to move. That's why we look at the motility of sperm. They're able to move and go to where they're supposed to go to. So don't bother yourself about what you see on the on the bed sheet.
You have answered 5 million people's questions with that alone. I wanted to, you mentioned a few things about the signs and symptoms concerning the men, and I see this question all the time. How about, you mentioned erectile dysfunction, right? But the other part of erectile dysfunction is, how about a man who is dealing with quick ejaculation? Does that affect fertility?
No, unless it becomes very severe, when he cannot even penetrate before he before he comes, you know, then that's troublesome.
That's troublesome.
Yeah, but if it's just somebody was calling our husband Indomie Nido. If it's Indomie Nido, come on, you can still achieve pregnancies.
Yeah, okay. Saka, by the way, if you're calling in, you can be anonymous if you choose to be anonymous. It's allowed. If you don't want me to mention your name with your comment on Facebook and WhatsApp and YouTube, please start with don't mention my name or start with anonymous so I can leave out your name while reading your comment. Can infertility come into play after childbearing? And that's one of the questions that I have. Like, at what point can you say that a couple, they're experiencing infertility, even when they've had a child or two?
Wonderful question, because there are two types of infertility, what we call primary and secondary infertility.
Okay.
Infertility comes at any time in which a couple is trying to conceive and they are unable to conceive.
Hmm.
So even if you have had four and you want to have number five and it's not forthcoming, and you try it for over 1 year, when you are less than 35, it's still infertility.
Fantastic. That's very straight to the point. And this person wants to know, you've mentioned the age factor in women. How about the age factor in men? Is there anything like that?
Yes, there is. But the truth about the matter is that when it comes to reproduction, women are more important than men. What we only do is donate DNA and we're just like lazy drones. After that, so that's why it's so age is so important in the women, because the genetic material that forms the baby comes from them, also from us anyway.
Right,
but more from the women.
More from the women, he says. We're gonna.
So men,
yes,
have what some people call andropause, but it's quite different from menopause in women. Menopause means you have run out of eggs.
Okay.
Andropause just means that there's some changes in your sperm. Does not mean you can't get a woman pregnant.
Oh.
Yeah, but the chances that probably congenital abnormalities will be higher in the baby. So this sets about 45 in men when sperm, there's some changes in the sperm parameter. So it takes longer for them to impregnate their partners, no matter the age of the partner, even if she's 20.
Okay.
It's going to take longer, and the chances that the baby will have congenital abnormalities might be higher.
Indeed. Lagos, let's go to break. It's a short break. When we return from this break, we'll take more of your calls. You can drop me your questions on Instagram as well at Nigeria Info FM Lagos. I'll take them. Dr. Abayomi Ajayi is still here. I'm Sheriff Quadri. We're back in a moment.
Nigeria Info.
Welcome back to the Morning Crossfire here on Nigeria Info 99.3. I'm Sheriff Quadri. I have Dr. Abayomi Ajayi, the Chief Executive of Nautical Fertility Center, on the show this morning. And we're talking about delay, the symptoms, the signs, and possible solution to it. You can join the conversation right now, 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. That is 01465-7190. You are very, very free to be anonymous if you choose to be anonymous. Let's get some calls in. Good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Anonymous.
That's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, please, I want to know if the fallopian tube is blocked, the fallopian tube, if diagonized that is blocked,
okay,
is there any chances to get pregnant again?
Okay. All right, Anonymous.
Great question, Mr. Anonymous. Now, if the fallopian tubes are blocked, the chances that you can get pregnant naturally, I'm sure that's what you're talking about, naturally is very slim, almost approaching zero. But that's why we do IVF. Okay. The best treatment for such a person will be IVF. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure we also come to that when we're talking about treatment.
Okay, that's interesting. I'm seeing a comment here that says, my last child is 7 years. I'm not on any contraceptives and also sexually active, although I'm in my 40s. What can be done, please?
That's you know, we talked about age. Mm. Let me tell you some things.
Yes.
When you are in your 40s, it's not that you cannot get pregnant. Okay. But even when you get pregnant, she's been trying for 7 years. So the chances that you'll get pregnant naturally approaches zero to less than 5%. Oh. Now, but that's not even the news. The news now is that even when you get pregnant, the chances that you will miscarry is higher than the chances that you have a live birth. It's more difficult to get pregnant. The chances now that you will miscarry is higher than you will have a live birth. So those are the things that we consider in this kind of... So this person should be seeing a doctor to see what are the options that are available to her if she really wants to have a baby.
This person wants to know if there is any connection between masturbating and infertility in men and women.
I think there are so many naughty boys out there. There is no program that I have that I won't get this question. I was no. The answer is no. There is no connection between fertility and masturbation.
Okay. There's also this question about if frequent intercourse can reduce the quality of sperm if you're trying to conceive.
Well, yes and no. Because it depends on what you mean by frequent. Yeah. You know, for some people, if what we recommend is that at least maybe have sex 2-3 times a week.
Okay.
I don't know. For some people, that's frequent. For some people, that's not.
That's
you know?
Not. That's yeah. right. That's
what
right.
we try to, if you are faced with infertility, what we try to do is like give you enough, just a little bit chance of the alternate day thing so that you have some time to recoup.
To replenish.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then before, but... definitely, if everything is okay, it does not have any effect.
It does not have any effect. Okay. Let's take another call. Good morning to you.
Yeah, hello, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Yeah, okay, good morning, Sherry. My name is Anthony.
Welcome, Anthony. Welcome.
And good morning to Dr. Ajayi too.
Morning, Anthony.
Okay, just the questions I want to ask. The way we hear about polycystic ovarian syndrome these days, has it always been like that? Or is it that information gets around more easily these days? Then, I'm sure you're familiar with these myths we have around of watery sperm, toilet infection, this and whatnot. And people really believe them so much. And an example is, there are many women who have been diagnosed of PCOS who have never been sexually active before they got married. So... speak to this. Many people say, okay, it's a toilet infection. You got it from the toilet. You got it when you were sharing clothes with your sister. Can you just speak to this thing about PCOS? How we hear, has it always been like that? And also these myths we hear at the bus stops and everywhere. Thank you.
Thank you, Anthony.
Thank you. Yeah, wonderful questions. PCOS, okay, it's always been like that.
Okay.
I think we just woke up to see, for so many reasons. Information sharing, just like you said, is easier now,
right?
Even with doctors. Right. I remember years ago when we talked about PCOS, even doctors were arguing then. But now everybody knows that there is something called, in fact, there is an overdiagnosis of PCOS. Because PCOS does not just mean having polycystic ovaries on scan. There are other things that you need to look out for. So it's we're more flippant with PCOS now, definitely. But also, the scanners we're using now, the resolution so much, much better than what we were using 20, 30 years ago. And then now we're also doing transvaginal scanning, which shows so many other things which we were missing before. So I think it's just a plethora of reasons why PCOS is there. Ignorance is a part of it anyway, because some are not PCOS. They just, for many young girls, if you scan them, they will have polycystic ovaries because they have many follicles in their ovaries, and that it looks polycystic ovaries, but that's not polycystic ovaries because other things are involved to diagnose polycystic ovaries.
Right.
Now, watery sperm, toilet infection, these are, I'm glad you call them myths, because that's where the realm to which they belong.
Okay.
You cannot talk about watery sperm because sperm cells, like we said, they are living cells. Mm. They can only be seen under the microscope. Mm. So what you are seeing is the semen, which, like I said, is like the fuselage. So so you cannot tell me that you have watery sperm or anybody say that you have watery sperm. Mm. The laboratory has to be involved to see what the quality of the sperm cells really are. Mm. Toilet infection is another wonderful myth that has refused to die.
Right.
Because actually what you can contact from the toilet are fungal infections.
Okay.
They have no impact on fertility. Fungal infections make a lot of noise. They cause itching and irritation.
Right.
But they don't go beyond the vagina.
Hmm.
Your reproductive system actually is above the vagina.
Right.
So it does not affect fertility per se. So, but people talk a lot about toilet infection. It's easy that everybody uses the toilet, so it's easy to lay blame to it. Mm. And because most people don't even investigate, they just assume that that must be the cause of their problem.
Right.
So I think what I can say from Anthony's submission is that people should see doctors.
Mm.
Stop making diagnoses on your own.
I'd like to extrapolate something from Anthony's second question about toilet infection. Is there anything like toilet infection?
Or
are just STIs?
Yeah, no, there can be toilet infection. That's what I say, is a fungal infection.
Right.
Most of that the time, and has no impact on fertility.
Because it's almost like we mix sexually transmitted infections with toilet infections, or are they the same?
They're not. You know, you just said it. One is toilet, one you need sex.
Right.
So the sexually transmitted infections are more than the toilet infections.
Right.
You know, toilet infections are usually just fungal in nature.
Right.
With the sexually transmitted, you can have fungal, you can have bacteria,
everything.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's take this one from Anonymous on WhatsApp. It says, the person says that there can a man, you mean, with premature ejaculation be able to impregnate a woman? I think you've answered that question already.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
As long as there is penetration.
Exactly.
Mm. Okay. Let's go back to the telephone then. Good morning to you. Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Please, can I remain anonymous?
That's fine, that's fine.
Okay, thank you very much. Good morning, doctor, and happy new year.
Wish you the very same. Thank you.
Yeah, I have like three questions. One is, I have a brother, after getting married, and they couldn't achieve conception. He went for the test, and he was declared sterile. And
do try and call us back if you can. We lost that call. Yeah, that was painful. Hello, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, please.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have two questions.
Okay.
This is anonymous.
That's fine.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
I want to know the cause of a woman in her 40s not ovulating well. Not ovulating well. That is one. Then can a man with a watery sperm give pregnant woman?
Okay. All right. Thank you for the question.
I will take the second one first.
Okay.
Thank you for being anonymous. But that means you are not listening to us.
Yeah, that's what it means.
Because I've addressed this watery sperm thing. Please let it go to bed. You cannot evaluate sperm by looking at it. So there is nothing like watery sperm. Let the man go and do a sperm analysis in a laboratory. That's when you know whether there is anything wrong with the sperm or not.
Right.
Now, for a woman over 40, I think we almost said the same thing before. Now, let me state some things. A woman over 40 can reach menopause, and it is normal.
Okay.
We say premature menopause when a woman reaches menopause before the age of 40. Mm. So when you're above 40, you're actually already knocking on menopause. So the best that you can be will be perimenopausal. So it's around, you're hovering around menopause.
Yeah.
And for some, they actually are menopausal.
Yeah.
So when you're trying to get pregnant at age 40, really and truly, it's difficult. So ovulation, I'm not saying that some people don't just get pregnant like that. But it's like you cross Ikorodu Road blindfolded. It's possible, you can do it, but don't try it again. So it's possible. But the chances are, if you know what the risks are also, you want to, as much as possible, try to achieve pregnancy before age 40. So it's not unusual for a woman over 40 not to be ovulating regularly. If she's ovulating regularly, she's lucky.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. We'll take one more call before we go to the options available. Hello, good morning to you.
Hello, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Yes, I would like to remain anonymous.
That's okay.
Yes, please, I want to ask the doctor. Is it normal for a woman that is pregnant to be seeing discharges? Though we're told in the hospital that it's normal, but the discharge is not smelling, it's not itchy. Just normal white discharge, not colored or maybe pink, greenish in color. Another thing, could those the discharges, can it affect the baby during delivery or even during the pregnancy?
Okay.
Like, can it lead to a baby's death?
Okay.
Something like that. I just want to be sure of that.
All right.
Thank you. I think that's I got the gist with your second question.
Okay.
Yeah. The doctor, because the doctor had already told you that it's normal. Okay. You can have increased vaginal discharge when you're pregnant because your estrogen level is higher. So as long as you've said it is non itchy, it's not smelling, then it's great. It's okay. Now, let me assure you about the baby. The baby is well protected from the vagina until the time that you are delivering. That's when he has only any communication with it. And even the water has to be broken.
Yeah, first.
You know? So the God, in his infinite mercy, has protected the child so much that you don't need to worry about all this, except when the discharge is due to infection, especially those days that gonorrhea used to be rampant.
Dr. Jai, I would rest a bit from the calls and the messages. Let's talk about, because people are waiting to hear the options available to them. What are these options?
Thank you so much, Sheriff. Yeah, the first thing that I will always say is that people should get a good the diagnosis to know what is wrong. That is when we can tell them what the options available are. And so the first thing is a proper assessment. For you to have a proper assessment when you have infertility, four tests need to be done. The first one, the semen analysis. We need to know what is the man carrying, you know. Is he shooting blanks?
Wait till you carry.
Exactly. Is he shooting blanks or they're real?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We need also to see, because we know that the commonest problem with women is that the tubes are blocked. We need to be able to see that the tubes are open, just like somebody asked us during this, the course of this program. So we do an X-ray called HSG, or sometimes some people do what they call laparoscopy, okay? Now, if you do that, then the third thing we want to do is that, is this woman ovulating? Does she have a good egg stock? So we do some blood test to show what the egg stock is like. We call it ovarian reserve. So, and then the fourth thing is that, because there are a lot of fibroids in this environment, we also do a scan to be sure. That's where we can pick up things like polycystic ovaries, that we can pick up whether there's a fibroid sitting where the baby should sit, so that we get a whole picture. So once those four tests have been done, then we can say that you're fully investigated, because from that we can see about 85% of the causes of infertility. And that now leaves also this 15%, which we call unexplained infertility. All right, that's, we have done those four tests. We cannot find out why there is infertility. So we, in our confusion, we label that unexplained infertility. But there is treatment for that as well.
Okay.
So now when we have seen this, is when we now decide that, okay, fine, what is the best option for this couple? So it's like tailor-made for the couple. Now, so we start from the most basic. If you qualify for what we call intrauterine insemination. Okay, maybe I should say that even some people don't even need any intervention. during the course, you might see that they are not having sex
regularly
as they should. Mm. Or they have some kind of notion. The man says it's once a month or something, and the timing is wrong. Mm. So for some, you might see that. For some, you might just prescribe drugs alone and see that, okay, fine. Because we have seen that probably she's not ovulating.
Yeah.
Then the other one is that we can do what we call intrauterine insemination, which is just preparing the sperm. We have seen that the sperm, they're good. The tubes are open.
Okay.
Okay. But what is not happening is that they probably are not meeting in a comfortable environment. So we take the sperm, prepare them, make them get the best out of them, and then we shoot into the, I'm sorry, not, we put it into the reproductive tract of the vagina of the, actually into the cervix of the woman, to cut short the distance that the sperm need to, because travel. You know that fertilization takes place in the tubes. Mm. So the nearer we can put it to the tubes, the better. Yeah. So we do that at the time that the woman is supposed to be ovulating. Mm. So we have to see when she's ovulating.
Right.
And then if that does not work, or they don't qualify for it because we see that this man's sperm is not up to par, or we see that the tubes are not open, then you don't do intrauterine insemination for such couples.
Okay.
So we go straight to IVF. Okay. Now, there's so many variants of IVF now. It's just like you say, I want to drink Coke.
Mm.
It does not mean that it's the typical Coke that is in front of you. So
there's
so many things that are called IVF now that it's an umbrella.
Okay.
So, but the conventional IVF is only for people where the sperm count is okay. For example, the tubes are blocked. But when the sperm count is not okay, like we said that we having a lot of it in this environment, you know, we did a study that we saw that 12% of our men don't even have any sperm count at all. Zero.
12%.
12.
That's very scary now.
Now, what we say, what we have seen now also, but you know, what I say sometimes that we're careful to throw these figures around.
Yeah.
Because it is not community based. But that's the experience that we have. We can't also throw it away.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What we see now is that for every two sperm samples that you get, one of them will be abnormal. Is that bad?
Wow. Wow.
So, that's why now you see that a lot of IVF clinics are doing what we call ICSI, or intracytoplasmic sperm injection. What this means is that can only be done in the laboratory where you pick one sperm and inject it into one egg. This requires a lot of training. And the experience of the clinic that you're using matters a lot.
Yeah.
The experience of the embryologist matters a lot. So, and then we can do that for when the sperm count is bad. We can do it from when the sperm count is just low to when it's severely low. Okay. We've had results from people who are, say, 300,000. Instead of 15 million, their sperm count is 300,000. So,
okay.
So it's possible to do that. But because of that, because the sperm count keeps going down, we've seen so many other methods have been brought into fore.
Okay. Okay.
So we have some spin-offs from ICSI, like IMSI, like PICSI. They are things that we now do to help with men who have poor sperm count.
Right. Yeah. Right. I want us to dwell some more on blocked fallopian tubes. Can anything be done to open up the tubes?
$1 million question. You know why I smile is this, because we still see some people in 2022 doing hydrotubation. They go and flush the tubes. Hello.
Hi.
That's as counterproductive as it can be. And I'll explain to you why that is so.
Yes, please.
The way the tubes are made is that, you know, the function is that they transport the sperm, the egg, and then also the sperm.
Yeah.
And then they fertilize egg back into the uterus.
That's right.
So apart from being open, they also have fine air-like things, structures in them, which helps to propel whatever they are transporting. So when they are blocked, it's just look at your sink in the kitchen. When it's blocked, what happens? The water refuses to flow, so that's you have a flow back.
That's right.
The same thing happens when the tube is blocked, especially it's been blocked for quite a while. So there's a flow back. The first thing that happens is because that space is limited, it makes the tube to become bloated. And that's why we see it on HSD. Makes it to become bloated. And because of the pressure that is exerted on the muscle of the tube, it expands. The first thing that it sacrifices are those air-like things. Those are the first things that are destroyed.
Right.
And that's why the problem we had, even with doing tubal surgery, we can open the tubes, but those air-like things we cannot reconstruct. So imagine you now trying to flush that kind of tube open. In the first place, most of the time, it's like, also go back to your sink in the kitchen.
Yeah,
it's like you have bone obstructing the flow. And then you start pouring hot water in it and using your plunger to... What are you going to do? The plumber has to come there to...
To open it up.
Once it's a solid thing. So the same thing also. So sometimes we've even seen people dying from that.
Oh.
Because now the fluid has accumulated, the back flow has accumulated over a lot of many years. Once there is stasis, there will be infection. So that fluid is already infected. And then somebody in his wisdom comes to flush it open. And in the process, he's very skilled at it. So he actually ruptures the tube.
Hi.
And so you now have that fluid going into the abdominal cavity. And so you have terrible infection. And so because you didn't do anything, you start having abdominal pain, you start using analgesic. Meanwhile, infection is festering. So that is one thing that I don't think anybody should be doing now. Okay. And we also spoken about tubal surgery.
That's right.
Very few tubal blockages are amenable to surgery. So they need to be selected. And for you to do that, you need to do a laparoscopy to know. So at the end of the day, that's why tubal surgery is becoming more and more archaic.
Okay.
So the best way to treat tubal blockage in 2022 is IVF.
Fantastic. We're going to take one call, then we'll go to break. When we return, because I have lots of questions here for you, and we can't take everything, it will probably give people your information, if you don't mind, to try and reach out to you for any further questions they have. But let's quickly see if we can squeeze in one call before we go to the final break. Good morning to you.
Hello.
Good morning to you.
Hello.
Good morning. We can hear you. Oh, you can't hear us. Nigeria Info, good morning to you. Good morning.
Yeah. Hello.
Good morning to you. Can you hear me? Oh, wow. That's gone. Hello, can you hear me? Hello. Okay, that's gone. Let's take one after this. Okay, this is not even going through. We're going to try the last time. Morning to you.
Hello. Good morning, Sheriff.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, doctor in the studio.
Morning.
Yeah, my question, my name is Ayo.
Welcome, Ayo.
So my question is that, what causes a woman, when a man lay with a woman, then when the woman get up, to see that everything will now flow back? Is it that the fallopian tube is blocked? Then, because I have a friend that is, they've married up to a year plus now, and they have not been able to conceive.
Okay. Thank you for your question. I think we've treated this.
Yes, we have. Ayo, I don't know what play is. Is it the National Stadium or UAC? No, we treated this, that this is not an abnormality at all. That's not the cause of the failure to conceive. So they should see a doctor.
Okay. Quick one, Doc. Someone said, can genotype cause childlessness?
No, genotype cannot cause childlessness, but I think that's a big question, that talking about genotype, because that's one of the problems that IVF actually solves. You know, we say that 2 AS, AS should not marry so that they don't have SS. Why is I still believe that, but IVF has a way that can also circumvent that.
Yeah.
But of course, it's a very expensive venture. Mm-hmm. But so I think maybe we'll take that after. I don't know.
When we return.
When we return. Thank you.
Yeah, let's go to break, Lagos. Let's go to break. When we return, we'll begin to wrap up on the show this morning. Stay here with us. Welcome back to the Crossfire. I'm Sherif Quadri. Health Thursday this morning. Dr. Jai, we're having a conversation before we went on that break. Let's delve into it.
Okay. Yeah, he was talking about genotype. Yeah. And genotype on its own does not lead to infertility. But of course, when we talk about genotype in this environment, we're talking about sickle cell disease finally. Mm. And that is only transmitted from two people who are carriers, AS. Mm. And so IVF has offered us the opportunity also, which I'm not still promoting that 2 years people should get married. Yeah. If they don't want to get married, it's okay. But if they want to get married, there's a way out. We call it pre-implantation genetic diagnosis, whereby we do IVF for them, and we take samples from the embryo on day 5. Mm. We take samples for them on day 5.
Yeah.
And then we see that we transfer only the embryos who are not affected by sickle cell disease.
Okay.
Because, you know, we say it takes 2 years, 2 years.
That's right.
And each embryo stands about 25% chance of having SS.
That's right. Okay.
So we choose the ones that don't have, that are not affected. And then we can have a lot of babies from such. And we've done that so many times.
Mm. I have quite a ton of questions for you here. Tons, rather, of questions here. But we can't take them because obviously we're out of time. But how can people connect with you to throw their questions at you after this program?
Well, I guess the easiest way is still WhatsApp. I mean, Nigeria now. So 0807-771-6409. 0807-771-6409 is a number that you can call and send WhatsApp to.
Mm.
Of course, you can send email to info@abayomiajai.com.ng.
Okay.
info@abayomiajai, one word, .com.ng.
You have this interaction that you do online.
Oh, yes.
And a lot of people get educated on reproductive health.
Yeah, because you know that's the only way to go. We need to... We are on Facebook and Instagram once a month.
Okay.
And the good thing is that is the first one this year is this Sunday at 5 p.m.
Yeah.
So I'm inviting as many people as that can come. It's just Dr. Abayomi Ajayi. Mm. Search for Dr. Abayomi Ajayi on Facebook and you can join us at 5 o'clock.
Mm.
You can also, the same thing on Instagram. Right. We'll also feature it on Instagram. Right. It's still the same, Dr. Abayomi Ajayi.
Dr. Abayomi Ajayi, we have to go now. Thank you so much for coming on the program.
My pleasure, Sherif.
Always a pleasure taking from your knowledge and experience. Always a pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you so very much.
I'm Sherif Quadri. That's our show today. I'm online at Sherif Quadri across all social media platforms. But I'm not going anywhere yet because Daily Digest is next. And we'll talk about President Buhari and his succession or successor comment. Stay here on Nigeria Info.
Talk 99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.